And it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we should be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure.
Let's take our hymn. Standing for prayer.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We just thank you for each and every one here today. We just thank you, Lord, for keeping the virus away from us. As a congregation, we just thank for the beautiful weather you blessed us with this past few weeks. Thank you for the springtime. And we just thank you once again for everyone here. Help the ones that can't be here if they're not feeling well. We just pray for them. We just ask you to be with Pastor Howard, help him recover and his family from the flu-like symptoms. Be with Pastor Gosman as he brings a message. Just help all of us to be attentive and listen for what you want us to hear through the word. And we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, I do want to welcome you here this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here in the pews, sitting in church here this morning. Good to see you, and so glad we can be together. I also want to welcome anybody joining us online. Thank you for doing that, and again, we would like to hear from you. If you're watching or listening, please let us know, and we'd enjoy that. For our announcements here, I want to remind you that we will have an evening service tonight. And so come on out again at 6:30. Bring a testimony you can share, and we will be meeting here together. Pastor Gosman is going to be preaching this morning and also this evening. And so I trust you can come out. Also, join us online there again at 6:30. And we appreciate that. We are making progress through the Quieting a Noisy Soul program on Wednesday nights. We have three more weeks left of that. So we had spring break last week, and but we are going to pick back up this Wednesday night with that. And so even if you haven't been able to join us, you're welcome to come there in the building or also online. We are streaming that. You just have to have the link, which I have been sending out to the church, but if you're not on that, I can put you on that as well. We are going to try again for an elders meeting this week. I had to cancel on it last week because of sickness that I had, but we're going to try again this Thursday night if we can and meet as elders. Saturday, April 24th, we're planning to help with the camp cleanup at the rec hall, and that's been our tradition to do that for many years, so we're doing that again, and so that's going to start at 9 a.m. If you can come, bring some cleaning supplies. We're going to just help to get that building ready for use for the camping season. We're planning to go back to a Wednesday prayer meeting after the seminar is over. So we've got three more weeks here, and then so May, what is it, the 5th or so, I think is the first Wednesday night. Going to do that. It'd be great if we had some partners for our prayer meeting. And so I would just challenge you, you know, if you would be willing to partner in prayer, let me know even. I'd like to know who the prayer partners are of our church, and really to have that partnership as we come together, lifting the needs of the church in prayer. And I will say this as well, with our technology, what we can do with our prayer meetings is actually open that up and have a Skype component to that, or also a telephone component. And it's pretty easy to bring somebody in just on the phone, as I've done sometimes, holding the phone up there. And I think that would be, you know, better than nothing. So if some of our prayer partners aren't able to make it into the building, you know, join by that way, just for that time of prayer. And I'll say this as well. If there would be some that would prefer a daytime prayer meeting, maybe we have some prayer partners that would really say, hey, you know what, you know, Thursday morning at 10 would really be better for me. We can do that. We could have a daytime prayer meeting as well, and I think that would be something that'd be really good for us to have. So, just put that out there as we think about prayer in our church. Just encouraging that, partnering together in prayer. Want us to be able to do that. May 8th is the Ladies and Girls Brunch, so that's coming up. ladies are planning that, and there's going to be a speaker for that. The Perkins family is a missionary family, and they're going to be here that weekend. And actually, they're going to be in the Ohio area for several weeks here. And so they are going to be speaking. Actually, Natalie is her name, Natalie Perkins. She's going to be the speaker for the Ladies and Girls Brunch. Also this week, there is a work week going on at Pinal Bible Camp. Ashbrook Hall is getting more improvements. They're adding a storage room to the back, and then a completely new covered entrance with a renovated lobby to Ashbrook Hall. And the main part of the project is this week. There's a work team that is there from South Carolina, I believe, and they're asking anybody that would have some time to help with that, that they could, you know, be used this week. So if that's you, if you know somebody, you can let Isaac Vanderskel know. He's the program director, and put his phone number there in the bulletin. But that's going on this week, and so I know they're hoping to get a lot done, and maybe even have some more workers there to do that. All right, I think that's all the announcements I have here this morning. And so let's take our hymnals and turn to number 118 now. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, number 118.
Our scripture reading today is going to be in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's also on the back of your bulletins. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Let's all stand and honor God's word, please. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land, whether you go to possess it.
That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged.
Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of the fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes.
Let's read together on verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. Lord bless his word. You may be seated.
Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for this day of life that you have given to us. We thank you for the privilege of coming together as your people today. And most of all, we thank you that we can come into your presence because of Jesus Christ. We thank you that by him, we have access to your throne. We thank you that we have a relationship. We can come to you as our God who has saved us, who guides us throughout our lives. And we come to you today once again to ask for your special help, to ask for your grace and mercy in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you know us, you know what we need, and you know our paths and our actions and our thoughts even. And so we come before you recognizing that, and we pray, Lord, that you look upon our congregation here and that you would be gracious to us as you have been. And we pray for those that are sick, not able to be here today. We pray that you would raise them up and heal them. We think of those who are in need of your special comfort and encouragement, perhaps some that have gone through great loss in recent days, perhaps others who are dealing with disease, long-term illness. We pray that you would strengthen them and help them. We pray for those who have not been able to come out because of the virus. We think of them and we pray that you would bring them back again in your time. And we pray that you would keep us all safe as we've gathered here together. Our Father, we thank you for this assembly. Thank you for each of the members, each of those that are a part of this church and that are believers, have been born again and called out from the world and called together in the body of Christ. And we pray that you would continue to guide us as an assembly, a body, and help us all to see the responsibility that we have in this body to serve you, to serve one another. And so we ask for your special grace and guidance. Pray for our elders, even as we plan to meet this week. Pray for special wisdom for us. And thank you for the men that you've placed in this assembly. And we recognize again that this is your church, that you are doing your work through it, that Christ is the head of this church. And so we pray that we would all be in submission to him. Our Father, we have come here to worship you and to recognize again who you are, what you've called us to be and do. And we've come here to honor you through our giving as well. We know that everything that we own is from you. Our lives are yours. And so we come and we give back a portion today that we might worship you And we pray that we would do so with gratitude and thankfulness in our hearts. And so we pray that you would take the tithes and offerings that are given today and that you would be honored and glorified. You would use them for your purposes. And we pray for our missionaries. We thank you for the part that we have with them and the opportunity to support some on a regular basis and others to help along as they come in and minister. And so we pray that the gospel would go forth all around the world. We know you've called us to go into all the world, to teach all nations. And so we pray that this small part that we have would be a way that we can further that great commission. And so we pray for the missionaries. We ask that you would comfort them and strengthen them and open doors of ministry for them. And we pray that the gospel would go forth. We pray for our own mission field here as well. I pray that you would give us each boldness and open doors of witness. And we pray that you would use us here in this place. We pray also for our country as a whole. We know that there's great need in our country for revival. We would ask for that. And we pray that the gospel would still go forth here. Pray that our freedoms would be preserved. We pray for our authorities, as you've called us to do. We ask for our President Biden. We pray that you would guide him and pray that most of all he would be saved and that he would humble himself before you. And we pray that for his vice president and his cabinet. And we think of all the men and women that serve in Congress. And we pray for strengthening of them. And thank you for the ones that are standing for you. And we pray that you would just uphold them. We pray for our local authorities here, ones that often impact us more. We pray for their decision-making and for your guidance of them and for their salvation as well. We think of our military in this country. We thank you for the men and women that serve, and we pray that the gospel would go forth among their ranks. We pray for our local law enforcement and first responders. We thank you for what they do and the protection that they provide for us. And so we lift them up in prayer as well. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We pray that you would help us as we continue to worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take your hymnals now and turn to number 447, The Lily of the Valley. Number 447, let's all stand as we sing. be seated. This time, Mrs. Gossman's going to come, minister in song. Then after that, Pastor Gossman is going to come and minister God's word. And, of course, he doesn't really need an introduction, but he is the founding pastor of our church, and he's the pastor emeritus here at Morrow Bible Church. So we're happy to have him give the message this morning and also this evening. And ask him to do that. But first, Mrs. Gossman's going to come minister in song.
the majesty of our God. Oh, the majesty of our God. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'd like to speak to you this morning. It's more of a topical message on the preeminence of God's Word. We have a majestic Lord. His Word is of His majesticness. But God's Word is under attack today. In fact, I even read a news article that came across the news article on the internet of one writing about how our Bible is under attack today. Rather than recognizing its authority, it is portrayed as being irrelevant, outdated, anti-scientific, among other many other derogatory things that are said about our scriptures. If you pick up our Constitution and Doctrinal Statement in the little booklet out there on the table, you will read that our statement of faith says on the Scriptures, we believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament to be the verbally inspired Word of God, the final authority for faith and practice. It's not exactly what it said. The final authority for faith and life, inerrant in the original writings, infallible and God-breathed, and scriptures that are there along with that. That's in our statement of faith. There are many of our major denominations, and when they were founded, would have agreed with that statement. Things have changed over the years. In fact, back in the early 1900s, as there began to be unbelief that crept into the seminaries, to take a statement like this to be verbally inspired, that means that God used the words. He had men write the words that He wanted them to write. And that it was infallible. Men have done many things in order to change the meanings of Scripture. They even use many of the same words that we would use today, and sometimes we don't recognize it because what they say, what they're saying, is not really what the Scripture has said. I remember Pastor Howard's grandfather speaking when he was in seminary, that he went to hear a man that was preaching on the resurrection. And he said the man gave a great message on the resurrection. But they knew some of the things this man had written. And they went up to him afterwards, after the meeting. His grandfather went up with another seminary student and asked him, do you believe in the physical, literal resurrection of Christ? Oh, no, no, he said. He didn't believe in the physical literal resurrection, but it was more of an, and I'm not even sure I could explain what he believed, but it was more of an idea. It was something that was declared that sounded good to some, but he didn't believe in the literalness of that. That has come up through our seminaries over the years. When I was a little boy, in our home church, I've told you that my folks left that church. It was a Methodist church that we left. When the pastor got up and questioned that there was a literal heaven and a literal hell, and I think I've told you that, my father, who wasn't even saved at that time, says, If we're going to go to church, we're going to go where they believe the Bible. How it has changed today. How it is as we say, the Bible's under attack way back then. It came up through the seminaries. It's permeated through our churches today and in our society where the Bible is not respected. The Bible is not held up as the Word of God. In a recent conversation I had with a local man, he ignorantly declared to me that the Bible's only a book written by men. He saw giving no allegiance that he should give to the Scriptures. If you were here in Sunday school this morning, you would have been led in a pledge allegiance to the Bible. We pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's where we ought to be. We should have an allegiance to God's word. Some have made the accusation, well, you're worshiping a book. No, we're worshiping our God who has given us this book, and it is his word. You see, the source of our scripture is not man. The source of our scripture is God. Here, Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times fast unto the fathers by the prophets, and he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. God spoke, it said there. Thus saith the Lord. This was, God spoke literally to people. He revealed himself. He's not like the gods of the world. It's not like those that we read about there in Israel as you read through your Old Testament, and those that had gods that could not speak, could not hear, and yet people bowed down and worshiped them. They were the things that were the imagination of men's minds. As Paul was on Mars Hill, he spoke to that generation in that time, and he talked to them about their, you have all of these gods. And he said to them, but you have one thing up to the unknown God. He declared to them the God they didn't know, the true and the living God. You know, the God's word, here back when it was just the law, how important, what was the importance he placed upon that? He said it should permeate your lives. It should be before you. It should be on your doors. God's word was to be before them and continually spoken of them throughout the day and wherever they went. It wasn't just when they would meet on, they would go on the Sabbath. This was something that was to be continually and always before their minds was the word of God. It was to be permeated into the children's minds and passed on from generation to generation. How important is God's word to us today? You see, God is the source. He was revealing and unfolding his revelation throughout 150, you know, our Bible, it's an amazing book. Throughout 1,500 years, 66 different books, 40 different human instruments that were writing, and yet it is unified from the very first word through the very last word of our scriptures. God, and how could that be? How could that be if we were to gather books together of people that were written over all that period of time and try to find some, there would be no unity. Why? Because it's God is the author. God is the author. You see, yes, God spoke. He spoke particularly, you know, he conversed with Adam. He spoke to Cain. He spoke to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, and to the prophets. But how did God, what do we have in the scriptures? We have a people process where God chose to use man. God did use man, and except in the writing, the only thing we know that God himself literally wrote in the rock was the Ten Commandments that he gave to Moses. It says here in this passage, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God revealed to the prophets his word. He revealed there about, how would we know about creation? Moses wasn't there when Moses wrote about creation. God revealed it to him. God spoke to him. He told him what had taken place. He just had Moses to write. He revealed through the prophets sin, a redemptive solution that was coming even from back in the book of Genesis, even as you look through the thread as it reveals the person of Christ and his coming throughout that Old Testament. He revealed about how God preserved his word through Israel and the coming of Messiah. Yes, he spoke in times past unto the fathers by the he spoke to them, and then hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the world. You see, the process that he had in the giving of the word was, he spoke unto us by his Son. Recently, I had a man that as I was witnessing to him, and in his unbelief and willing to accept the scriptures, he said to me, why doesn't God just come down and speak to me if he wants me to believe? If he wants me to know, I responded, he did. He did. You see, we now have his word. Yes, God spoke unto us by the prophets. And then, as this is writing, he said, in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. What a blessed passage we have when we go to John chapter 1. When we go to John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Notice how that goes together with what he said here in Hebrews. He's in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. There yes, certainly there is the recognition as someone recently had also told me that he didn't he just believe that Jesus was a man. No, he was Emmanuel, God with us. He was one that we have recognized, and we hold too dearly the scriptures that he was born of a virgin, which is not believed by many today. The virgin birth of Christ, because they don't believe. And back in those early years of the 1900s, they were starting to teach against the fact of the miracles, and they would explain the miracles away by, well, this must have happened or this must have happened, and certainly they would not accept the miraculous birth of Christ. But he was born of a virgin. God with us. And you see, in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son, where Jesus came. And so we have in our scriptures the revelation that in the beginning was the Word. And of course, it doesn't leave us to our imagination of what he's speaking about the Word, because in the 14th verse there of John chapter 1, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, how majestic is thy name, our God. Yes, the Word became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. So we have God speaking. We have the Son speaking, who came and dwelt among us to reveal unto us the Father. Was it Philip that said, Lord, show us the Father? He says, have I been so long with you and you've not known me? You see, he came, he reveals to us the very person of God. We have the words of Jesus recorded in our New Testament scriptures. Yes, we have the prophets. See, the Old Testament is spoken of as the law and the prophets. There we have that portion of scripture that God gave to us, and then he sent his son. Then Christ came, and he's here, and he spoke. I've got a red letter edition in my Bible. I like that because I like it. It just kind of helps me to see what. But there are some that say, well, I only go by what Jesus said. Is that valid? No. I mean, I don't put any greater value on the red letters in my Bible that Jesus spoke than what's the rest. And as we go on here, I'll explain that a little more. But it's the fact that this is all God's word that he has given to us. So we have the words of Jesus. We have it's revealed to us here in these scriptures and particularly in the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But God was not done revealing himself just with the prophets and the law and the words of Christ. We have some things that the Lord said, and here we come to the time of the apostles. If you go to John chapter 14 and verse 26, when Jesus was there with his disciples, he said unto them, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. You see, there was more to be taught than what we have in the Old Testament scriptures. There was more than what Jesus revealed through his teaching when he was here. He says to them, he will teach you all things, and we'll see why in a moment he said that. And he says also in 14:26, and he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How do we have those? How do we have those red letters, if you have a red letter dictionary? How do we have those things that Christ said? How do they remember later on? I have trouble remembering things from yesterday. Maybe even today. But he said the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, when he comes, he's going to bring things to your remembrance. He's going to give you the words that I spoke to you. He will bring things to your remembrance, and he's going to teach you. So there was a specific ministry of the apostles that God had for the revelation that he wanted for the completion of his word. In John 16 and in verse 12, here's what Jesus said again to his disciples. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. You know, as we've looked through the life of Christ and even recently in some of Pastor Howard's messages, you know, we've recognized that they didn't understand really yet. They couldn't comprehend that Christ really was going to die. They were looking for that kingdom to come and the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament, not realizing that was yet to be in the future. So Jesus says there's things you just can't bear right now. So when the Holy Spirit, in verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. There is that unity in the Godhead. There is that which here the Spirit of truth. The children gave us the words here this morning in Sunday school of John 14:6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Where do we get truth? Truth is in God. You want to know what is true? Don't listen to the news. Don't even listen to the ones that you trust, because you'll find out maybe some of that's wrong. But here we got something we can trust. You see, the Spirit of truth, he said, when he is come, he'll guide you in truth, and he'll show you things to come. So here we have our Bible. We've got the Old Testament. We've got the words of Christ in the New Testament, the life of Christ, and then we have the epistles, and we have these things that God gave here at that time, and then things to come. Not only what he revealed in the Old Testament and even in his own sayings, but then he gave us the book of Revelation as he puts it all together and gives it to us of what is to come. And that gives me great comfort today. I see what's going on and you wonder, where are we headed for? God's given us the end of the story as well. And how we're looking forward to the coming of Christ and being with him, and that we are not of this world, and what a blessing thing, what a blessed thing that is. But let's just look at this, the work of the Holy Spirit, and there we come to the Holy Spirit by inspiration guided that process. Yes, we do have human writers. But they are human writers that were inspired by God, where he was protecting the truth. The Spirit of truth, he is the one that will come, will guide you into truth. And he will show you things to come. So the inspiration, what is the inspiration? You know, we read there in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means it's God-breathed. It comes from the breath of God. It comes, God is the direct source. Man is only an instrument through which God has given his word. So yes, we do have, I have the Gospel of John here. We've got the book of Hebrews that some have different opinions about who that author, writer was, but it was one that was guided by the Holy Spirit of God. He guided them. He gave them remembrance. He taught them. He revealed. He protected their accuracy. Yes, God used men. And so again, in our statement of faith, we believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be verbally inspired. That's why when Pastor is teaching, you hear him times will go back and look at the Greek word that we have record of that this particular word was used, and then even to study what's some of the areas of meaning of that word. But it was of the Holy Spirit that particular word was used. That it's inerrant in the original writings. Now, we recognize that my Bible's in English. I've got a Greek Bible at home, and I'd hate to tell you how much Greek I had. I had a lot more than I know in college and seminary. I even have a Hebrew Bible. But you know, how many of you can read it? I can do a very poor job of it. But you know, we have a translation here. Sometimes there's a difference in areas of meaning of a word, and that's why it says in our doctrinal statement, we know that in the original writings, in the original autographs, it is completely inerrant because God guided those men. Now, certainly God has he has preserved his word, and what a blessing it is. And sometimes men go back and look at the various copies of those original writings, and they'll find a little bit of a difference in the copies and to try to search out, because they want to know, how can we know as close as possible what was there? And what a blessing it is. We have a translation in our language that we can read. We sung a hymn this morning, starting off, a hymn written by Martin Luther. In Martin Luther's day, he was one of the few that was allowed to even to read the scriptures because of the position that he had within the Catholic Church. And he had risen far enough that he was actually allowed himself to read, but you wouldn't have been allowed to read it because you couldn't understand it. You need a priest to tell you what it says. Isn't it a blessing? You can test everything Pastor Howard says from the scripture because you could go and read your Bible. But they had really cut out not allowing ones. In fact, when the Bible was being translated in the language of the common people, there were men that lost their lives because they translated and they tried to give it to the people. Those were dark ages. You hear the dark ages because they didn't have God's word. Yes, but the scripture, the gospel, yes, it is not of man. And one of the things that's important for that is, you know, in Ephesians 2:20, it says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And Paul, who said in Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. You know, one of the things as a young man I wondered about, because I says, well, what if we find something else? And they're always finding something in archaeology and whatever. They're always finding things. What if we find something else that was written by Paul, or that was written by one of the apostles that would change things? Paul makes some very interesting statements. In Galatians, you might look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. You see, Paul, an apostle, could not change because the scripture wasn't his. It was God's that God gave to him. And he says this, but though we or an angel from heaven, and when I say that, or an angel from heaven, there are those today that proclaim, well, I got this revelation. I got this revelation. An angel or God. He says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. This is not of man. This is of God. We don't have any right to change it. There are those today that don't like, because of the woke society, I've had a hard understanding of even what woke means, but in this society, we have those that are changing the gender in the scripture because we can't have any gender. So they're changing scriptures, anything that has to do with gender. And they're putting it into a Bible, says, well, now here's the Bible you should use. We can't do that. This is God's word. God is the one that created gender. He's the one that put the words in the people's mouths. In fact, I don't know if I got that here, what I had a word of David here where he said, where God put his words in his mouth. I don't see that in my notes at the moment, but... And also, when we come to the book of Revelation, in the end of Revelation, in chapter 22 and 18 and 19, he says, if any man should add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. You know, there are those that, and specifically in the book of Revelation, there are those that are reinterpreting what Revelation has to say, and they've got this outside revelation from somebody some angel revealed to them. But it says you can't do that. You can't add or you can't take away. Because this is what God has given. Certainly, we know, and I'm not going to dwell on that, that yes, it is the gospel of God that saves. There's even as the children gave that word from Christ, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. People are continually trying to find other ways to God than through Jesus Christ. God's word is very specific, and we can, and that's the gospel. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves men. But I want to go to one other thing on this morning, and that is the scripture is our God-given guide for life. The scripture should be my God-given guide for life. You know, as we had a family and our church when I was a boy, and thank God that my folks left a church that they didn't believe God's word, and we started a little church. It was a little church. It was so there were those that had come out of the Presbyterian church that it was leaving its leaving the fundamentals and come out of some others, and they had a little church. They called it a Bible Presbyterian church in my home church. But it was where we had pastors that believed God's word and were teaching God's word, and what a blessing that was. But I think of this one man, and sometimes he sang with his sister that came to the church, and he says, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. And he had a good guitar, and he played it. But it was that song always stuck in my mind. I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. How do we guide our lives? By what's going on in the world around us? Or do we guide our lives by the Bible that God has given to us? Would you go on a trip across an unknown country without a map, a GPS, or something to guide you? You'd be hopelessly lost. And that's the way we are. When we can get all kinds of wrong ideas, all kinds of wrong theology, all kinds of wrong things for life. But if we would use our Bible as our guide, that pledge allegiance that we made, I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. You know, you read Psalm 119. You know, Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm. It's a long psalm, but it's divided into little sections. Actually, each section each begins with the five verses. Each section begins with the word of the Hebrew alphabet. We don't see that in the English, but just about every one of those verses, what is it, 150 verses or something, has something about God's word. And one of those, verse 33 of Psalm 119, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, and I'll observe it with my whole heart. Oh, you know, we are to feed on God's word. It should be in our homes. Even as it told those back in the law, it should be in every part of your life. What was that? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one Lord. It says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand. You know, he wants them. God's word should permeate our lives. We have so much more than they had back then. We have so much more revelation that God has given than we had them. How important is God's word to you? How important is God's word to me? You know, it's challenged my own heart in just studying through this again, the importance that it is. You know, I was learning the Bible from my mother's knee. I was in a Bible preaching church. Majored in Bible in college. Went on to seminary because I didn't feel like I felt like I needed more. But you know what? When I sit down with the Word of God, when I sit here and listen to Pastor open the Word, when he's brought a message, as he studied through a passage, and how it challenges my own heart, and it causes me to help me to make this a guide for my footpath by the day. And, you know, I think of, it's a blessing being a pastor emeritus. Now I can sit back and listen as the pastor preaches. But what a blessing it is to have a man that preaches God's word, that really studies and helps you to see the sense of it and makes the application of it. I think of when I was preparing many times, studying through a word. I knew what passages was. I knew what, but studying through and what is God saying there for us today, and how does that, what he's saying, how does that change things? And to have to study through it till you really felt like, till I felt like I was finally able to sing, "I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah." Ladies, have you prepared a nice meal? Nice meal with those who were going to be there, and then at the last minute, they couldn't come or they weren't there. It's kind of disappointing, wasn't it? How do you think, I'll get a little personal here, but how do you think makes the pastor feel when he's studied with each of you in mind, searching out God's word and coming with to bring a message from the Lord to you, and you're not there. You're not there. Sometimes people only get breakfast. They don't get up, but they don't get the main meal because they miss. You know, I've found that. It was a practice that I thank the Lord that was instilled with my home, from my home, was that whenever the doors were opened in church and the word was going to be taught, to be there. You know, I found how important, you know what, even this last series, Quieting a Noisy Soul. My soul's not noisy. Why do I need to be there? You know what? As this man has opened the Word and shown us things, God's Word always speaks to your heart. And I've enjoyed every part of just hearing God's Word opened and when it speaks to particular areas of our life. When we miss out what has been prepared for us, we miss, don't we? We miss. We find out how what a blessing it is. If I have to miss Sunday night, I really feel bad. If I miss Wednesday, I feel like I've missed out. May God help us to I'm speaking here about church. Actually, I'm speaking past 12 o'clock. It's time for me to be quiet. Oh, let's just make God's word our preeminent in our lives, the very important, because we have a majestic God who's given us the truth, the majestic word. I changed the hymn on Isaac, and we're going to close, and he already knows it, but he didn't have much chance, but let's take our hymnals and turn to 179, Holy Bible, Book Divine, Precious Treasure, Thou Art Mine. Let's sing about this precious book that we have. Let's stand, we'll sing, and Pastor, if you come and close the center prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this reminder of what it is and why it's so important to us. We pray that we would heed these reminders and to pay attention to your word and to be fed by the word that you've given to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time we've had in your house today. We pray that you would impress upon us these truths as we go from here. Please watch over us, protect us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.